lot of crying the last couple of days. I want to thank you all for being here. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here to bring the Word of God today. I know, like everybody else, maybe that is asked to speak. I wondered when the Lord gave me this word. Well, are you sure that's right, Lord? You know, I know I'm probably the only one that does that. I know the pastor never does. He's so sure of himself all the time. But I asked the Lord when the pastor had asked me to speak, okay, Lord, what do you want? He said, Hezekiah. The only thing he said. I said, okay, give me that message, Lord. He said, Hezekiah. So I knew the second time he said it, I had to go to the book and look it up, you know, because he wasn't going to give me the whole thing at one time. So we don't have our board, but the title of this message is Be Like Hezekiah, but ... So we'll get to that as we go further. But in the book of 2 Kings is where we need to be this morning. 2 Kings 18. I'll be doing a lot of page flipping because I didn't write all these down in my message. I'd rather flip the pages. I kind of like the sound of that, pages flipping over. But these scriptures, 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 7, is the foundation. So I want to read that. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Verse 4, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 7, the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, the enemy, and did not serve him. That last sentence is very important. Did not serve him. The name Hezekiah means God has strengthened. And all of us realize that that's what we need, the strength of the Lord every day in our lives, just as Hezekiah did. And we need in a lot of ways to be like Hezekiah. We have to be strong in our faith. Now I want to go back to verse 4. Verse 4 said, he removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images. Now, there's so many names in the Bible. I hope I'm pronouncing some of these right. It says that he broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses made, for in those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Now that name, Nehushtan, was a derogatory name that Hezekiah gave to the bronze serpent, which simply means a worthless piece of brass. Now we know that now. But the children of Israel, they were so confused out in the desert They thought that God wasn't doing enough for them, so they thought, well, we'll build this gold serpent, we'll worship it. That's bound to help us. But Hezekiah was faithful to the God of Israel. And the NIV version of verse 4, it calls the wooden images Asherah poles. And I looked at that, and I found out something I didn't know. These poles, these Asherah poles, they were staked all around the sacred places of the Canaanites. The Canaanites, the Canaan land is where the children of Israel went into first. And these poles stood near the religious locations to honor the Ugaritic mother goddess, Asherah. Dear Lord, yes, dear Lord. The Ugaritic religion was a pagan religion. And the Israelites encountered this as soon as they got into the promised land. They were told when they came out of Egypt, Moses told them that God's going to take us to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. A pretty nice sounding place. The oppressive life in Egypt, taskmasters making bricks out of what, mud and straw? You know, I imagine that was, I wouldn't want to do that. But they got into Canaan, the promised land. Now, being in this new land and surrounded by people worshiping other gods, it was enough to sway some of the people to, well, I'll enter in. This God of Israel's not doing enough, so go over here to this bronze serpent or this wooden pole. Maybe that'll help me out. Some of the pagan customs were even absorbed into the Israelite culture, and they used them for a long time. And Hezekiah tore down these idols to take away the temptation to his people. Now, what the Israelites faced in that day might not be too different from what we face when we maybe go outside this door into the world and encounter in our society. And each day we're awakened to a world where we're faced with choices to make. Choices to do what God would have us do, the one true God, or a choice to do what is right and would allow us to prosper in our lives, or we have a choice to do something else. Worship at a pole. Now, we might be fibbing if any of us said that at one time or other in our lives, we didn't pick up a bad habit from the environment around us, from the world around us. I know I'd be fibbing if I said, oh, I've been pretty good all my life. My mama always told me I was good, but I think she just liked me. So that's the reason she said that. She was just hoping, I hope the boy turns out okay. I love my mama. However, we need to be like Hezekiah in this respect and hold fast to the Lord. Tear down and put away anything in your life or in the world that could become an idol and it could sidetrack you. Now, my next scripture is something very familiar, and most of you could probably quote it if I said what it was. And it's in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. The Word of God simply says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Thank you so much. Y'all are great. And that's the truth. And the first sentence of verse 9 in the NIV says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Amen. Amen. In other words, stay away from something that might become an idol. Stick with what's right. As the Word said, God was the same in Hezekiah's day, in the Old Testament, as He is today, right here with us. God does not change. Jesus does not change. He is forever faithful to those who worship Him. By the way, guys, the worship today was awesome. I heard pieces of my message all throughout the song. And we didn't talk to each other. So that's saying how good God is. God always puts together what we need. But remember, our enemy, we do have an enemy. It's not very important. And we're not giving him any kind of credit or due. But he's always in the vicinity. And I like the way my brother Charlie talks about the enemy. He say, you know, the enemy hadn't got much power, but he's always sitting over in the corner in a chair. He's waiting to get up and mess with somebody. You know? And it's the truth. But he has no power. The scripture says he walks around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. And the best way to avert him is simply don't pay attention to him or don't listen to him. So tear down anything concerning the enemy. Tear down instruments of idol worship. Be like Hezekiah in your life. When the enemies came against Hezekiah, his first action was to pray. A faithful prayer. A faithful prayer by Hezekiah that was answered by God is told to us in the 32nd chapter of 2 Chronicles. I want to read that, by the way, if I can find it. I got pretty good at thumbing through here in practice, so maybe I won't take too long to get to some of these scriptures. 2 Chronicles 32, 20 and 21. The enemy, Assyria in this case, Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. As a little precursor to these scriptures, he was standing out there and just giving Israel all kind of what for, like, I'm going to come in there and take you over. Y'all ain't got nothing that I can't defeat. I'm going to just run you over and capture all of you. So in verse 20, it says, now because of this, because of the enemy talking big, now because of this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried out to heaven. They knew prayer was the way to go. Verse 21, then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader, and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned shamefaced to his own land. And when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his offspring struck him down with a sword there. His own people killed him because of Hezekiah and Isaiah praying. A simple prayer can do a lot. He alone is God, and greater, as we have heard, than any other gods, little g. Even when there is evil all around him, and there was at this time, even when there was evil all around, Hezekiah clung to the Lord. He worshiped, he obeyed, and he pursued God all of his life. And as the scripture said, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the next scripture to show you that is in the book of Ephesians, all the way over to the New Testament. Ephesians 5, let's read, start at verse 15. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Whew. That just sounds like good advice to me for this day and time. Hezekiah understood this, and he understood how to walk in wisdom. And as a result, at the end of Hezekiah's life, when he thought he was going to die, the Lord blessed him with 15 more years. Apparently, the Lord had something else for Hezekiah to do. Let's go back to 2 Kings again. We're going back and forth. Same God in Genesis, same God in Revelation. So 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." What did Hezekiah do? Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray how I have walked with you in truth and a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my sake, my own sake, and for the sake of my servant David." Hezekiah, because he prayed again, was blessed with another 15 years. God had something else he wanted Hezekiah to do. We serve the same God today as Hezekiah did. If we read in Matthew 22, we read about Jesus, same God. He was talking to the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Lord, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" They were all about the law, so they had to know what was the greatest commandment in the law. They thought that'd give them a foot up on everybody else. That's what they wanted all the time anyway. So Matthew 22, Matthew 22, 37. After they'd asked him this question, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Yes. I believe Hezekiah served the Lord with all his heart, and he served him with all his soul. But he might have been a little short in the mind part. The wisdom part, maybe we'll call it. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because he did not finish his life strong. If you read on down in chapter 20 of 2 Kings, verses 12 through 19, and I won't read those. Hezekiah made a misstep there. He was sidetracked by pride. He got so confident, I guess, in the God he served that he thought he could brag about stuff that he had in his house. So he bragged to the enemy, bragged to the Babylonians about all the possessions he had. And he brought them into his house and said, "Look, I've got gold and diamonds and everything around here. Look at this. Look what I've got." He could have told them that his God had blessed him with all this. But he didn't do that. He just bragged. Trouble always results when pride sets in. We have to guard against that in our lives because it can be a downfall to us. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. And James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, I believe Hezekiah from the start wanted all kinds of great things for his people. And he knew the only way they could prosper was to serve God totally, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. As soon as he saw any issue, he went to the Lord in prayer, as we all should do. And he received answers on exactly what to do. You can read in 2 Chronicles 32, verses 2 through 8. Hezekiah was faithful to Jerusalem and faithful to Israel. He fortified Jerusalem against the enemy, built up strong walls, expanded his military, and he built a long water tunnel, 1,750-foot water tunnel, because he had all the wells around capped up so the enemy wouldn't have any water. But he built himself that long tunnel to feed Jerusalem. So he did all the right things. And the following part of my message is why you see that word "but." You don't actually see it, but I told you that. The following is why you see the word "but" in the message title. As I bring this message to a close, John says, amen. I see you trying to sleep back there, John. I will call you out. No, he's not sleeping. I'm just picking on him. He's been smiling the whole time, so apparently he still likes me. Now, for all the good Hezekiah accomplished for Israel, he could have done one more thing to finish his life strong. There's a difference between bragging about what you've got and telling about the blessings of God. And it matters who you tell. Wisdom is greater than gold. Righteous as he was, Hezekiah failed to use the wisdom that God had blessed him with and did not pass on to his son Manasseh the love of God. I guess he got wound up again with pride. That's important that we pass along to our family members. As the song said today, the goodness of God. When they started that song, the goodness of God, I needed my tissue. I had it. I'm telling you. Woo! That was terrific. Now, after Hezekiah passed, it was proper custom Manasseh became king. And I won't read anything in chapter 21 of 2 Kings, but if you read it, it paints a pretty grim picture of Manasseh's reign in Judah. He was king for 55 years, almost twice as long as his father, which I can't figure that out unless everybody liked the way he was doing things, which I don't understand that. He didn't move Israel forward as he should have. When we pass on the goodness of God to our families, then we're assured that the next generation will at least have a good start with God instead of without God. Brother Bradley's even shaking his head on that. Thank you, Brother Bradley. I appreciate that. He knows. If you and I are good parents, we must pass on a godly legacy to our children. Because when we're gone, who else is going to do that? Who can we trust to do that? There could be and there could not be someone. Don't miss an opportunity to tell your family about the goodness of God. The evil of this world presents a pretty tough road to anyone that's not prepared for spiritual warfare. Manasseh wasn't prepared for the spiritual war he faced when he became king. He didn't serve the Lord. Didn't serve Him at all like his father did. And because of that, and he wasn't aware of the goodness of God, he brought in what was in the world and rebuilt all those altars. Put everything back like it was, thinking that would help the situation. Maybe he even saw, I thought about this, maybe he even saw what his father had done, but because his father didn't physically tell him or teach him about the goodness of God, didn't communicate that to him, brother, like you're talking about, didn't communicate that to him. It didn't take. We must pass to our children, our families, stories of how God has blessed us, how God has prospered us, and how God has healed us. And we do that so they can pass it on to their children. I want to read out of the Psalms. Psalm 78. Let's go to Psalm 78. I don't know that I'd ever read this. If I had, it'd been too long, so I certainly needed to read it again. Thank you, Miss Reith. Thank you so much. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7. And I can't find it. Yeah. I got it. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers. It's talking about the Lord. That they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them, whew, to their children. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Build your children's faith. Build it as yours was built, on the goodness of God. Maybe the most familiar scripture that I'm going to use today is from Proverbs 22:6. Again, most of you could probably quote it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When we do this for our children, they can be like Hezekiah, but they will finish strong. We have to understand where we came from before we can go forward. And I asked the pastor about this. I told him I'd cry all the way through it, but he said, that's okay. So, pastor's ultimate authority here. So, it's okay. I found this from several years ago. New Life Ministries was celebrating their 20th anniversary. And I was asked to say something on the 20th anniversary because I've been here for most of it, I guess. Not because I'm any more special than anybody else, for sure. But I want to read this to you because it's where we came from. You know, this morning during the praise and worship, I thought about Little Aiden. Loud, the music's loud, and Brandon's loud. The baby just sleeping or not bothering Aiden. Getting used to the Lord is the way I thought about it. My wife said, "Look over there, that baby recognizes Daddy's voice, and he's paying attention. His eyes were open." I believe just being here in this service today is the best start that Little Aiden could have. So I want to read this, and I'll get through it, but bear with me. Remember, this was 20 years. Now it's 26 years this last March, right? So 26 years, that's a long time. That's 2 decades, 6 years. And it might, maybe not that much time in retrospect, but we work for a boss to whom time is irrelevant. Now, we're controlled by time, but God's not. I know Brother and Sister Hall, they were fully aware of what they were getting into at the beginning of New Life Ministries. And I asked him about this before. I said, "I'm going to mention Ms. Hall. Is that okay?" He said, "Well, sure," like he always does. He's such a blessing. Such a blessing. But from the beginning until this day, the heart of New Life Ministries has been totally committed to God's purpose at any particular time. That's why we're still here today to celebrate another anniversary. We'll get to next March and we'll celebrate another one. If not for the fact that they hadn't followed God's guiding, none of us might not be here. Brother and Sister Hall grabbed onto God's vision of a church body able to do His will and His purpose, wherever He wanted to do that. The truth of the matter is, as I told you, I wasn't here at the beginning, the very beginning. I only heard the rumors of the church services that they had in the garage. Wasn't it in the garage at first? Yeah. And later, I heard some stories about somewhere outside of Alvareda, in a building with windows, but no glass in the windows. In November, some of you might have been there. My wife Linda and son Clifford, they were among those that got to experience the windowless place. I guess God knew I'm cold natured, so I might not have lasted. So, wow. Anyway, we know, as we've said, God's plan is for families to stick together. So on Easter Sunday, 1996, they started in 95, but Easter Sunday, 96, I attended New Life Ministries for the first time because Clifford, my son, he'd come to me and told me, "Dad, I'm going to play Jesus in the play." Whew. That's all it was. I got to go. And by the way, I'm glad by that time that they'd moved out of that building with no windows. And they'd moved into another building that had heat and air. That was terrific. So I guess God's timing, you know, is good for me. But I was hooked after that service. And some of you and may have heard this story also. Anyway, to the glory of God, I'm going to tell it again. That Easter Sunday, when I drove through the gate, yeah, they had a gate. They thought we were a cult. And at one time, we had a gate. Had to open and close out there. That's where we came from. We need to know that. When I drove through the gate of the old Nike base, that's what it was. That's where it was out here east of Alvarado. Driving up, I could feel the love of God driving in my car before I even got out of my car. And I knew what it was because, you know, I'd been in church, been a Baptist, though. Baptist. I love Baptists. Don't be offended if you're a Baptist or know a Baptist. Or I'm a Baptist-costal now. I guess that's what you call me now. So it's okay. It's okay. But I felt the love of God before I even got out of the car. And I knew already that this place was different. Now, we spent 10 years there, that location. And that's where I grew up. And for that matter, I'm still growing. I can't quit crying, but I'm still growing. You know, you never quit growing in God. It's always got something new for you. And we had a lot of memorable Thanksgiving, Christmas dinners and programs. I still remember those days. Reith remembers, I know. She was played the piano in that heated and air building, that good building that she moved into. I remember. I remember those worship services. They never seemed to end. They'd start about 10 o'clock and then we'd eat about, what, 2 o'clock? We'd stop and eat. Yeah. And for a long time, we'd eat after every service. Brother, we didn't have a kitchen. So we had potluck, you know. Everybody'd bring a pot. Not pot, a pot. I know what y'all were thinking. Coming from an old hippie, y'all thought I'd backslid. No. Linda? Yes, you're included. Linda, Cliff, and myself, we were baptized on the back porch of that building in the same baptistry that I baptized my granddaughter Kylie in that sits down here now, the same one. You got to remember where you came from. God doesn't want us to forget those important events. My son Cliff, he was blessed to attend the New Life Christian Schools from the time he was in the seventh grade until he graduated in 2002. New Life Christian Schools was a wonderful thing for all the kids. I remember this guy when he wasn't half as tall as he is now, probably. And his brothers also. And by the way, all three of them had been brought up to know the Lord. All three of them today still serve the Lord. Yes. It was a blessing for my mom and dad to be able to attend many of the functions at New Life. God's plan is continually going forward. He has a plan, even when it looks a little funny to us. New Life Ministries eventually moved from that comfortable place that we had enjoyed for such a long time, and we thought was going to be our permanent base of operations. At one time, we thought, this, we're going to keep improving here. We got big buildings, a lot of potential. I want to tell you about another story. We had a Saturday work day at New Life out there. And that Saturday I was painting something outside door frames, I think. And I needed more paint or more brushes or something. So we had a long building, what, 80 feet, 100 feet long, about 30 feet wide, long building. And I had to walk from one end of that building all the way to the other, past the altar. When I got close to the altar, my knees got weak. I wanted to stop, but went on. I got to paint. Ain't got time for this. Got to paint. So I went and got the paint. I come back by the altar. This time, God's going to make sure I stopped. So I almost fell. I stopped and kneeled and I prayed. And the Lord told me that New Life Ministries Prosperity was going to be in their outreach. As a church body, we've stood on that. We've expounded on that. We knew that outreach was important. God was preparing us for what to do next. New Life Ministries moved from that place that we thought was going to be a base of operations to here in the city of Alvarado. At the community center down on, you call that Main Street down there? Anyway. So we moved in there and we made a lot of contacts that were and still are important. Two of them being Sister Paula Rayburn. She's gone on to be with the Lord. She was very instrumental when we were here in town. And Miss Cherry also. She still is very important, as you've all seen today. I remember dinners at the center down there because we had a kitchen. Kitchen, no more pots, kitchen. Now, moving is stressful. Anytime we move or go to a new place, it's stressful. But New Life Ministries made one more move before we came here to 901 Sparks. We were blessed to be allowed to have services in the Templo Nueva Vida, New Life Temple. That's north of the square. A church pastored by Brother and Sister Ponce. They were very gracious to us while we were there. Let us have services there. We just carried on our business as usual, albeit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's okay. God still moved. God still blessed. He did everything He needed to do. And our outreach that we still do today, it was called Thanksgiving in the Homesteads when we first birthed it. It's called Thanksgiving in New Life now. We've made it our own. But that idea and the first couple of years were terrific out in the homesteads. That was birthed at the New Life Temple. Now the current phase that we're in at this time since moving here, it's been similar to other homes. God led us because of our pastors followed Him. God's always been there to lead us, whatever He needs to do. It makes a difference to God when a pastor's heart is in the right place. Just like it made a difference to God when Hezekiah's heart was right. I don't have to say a whole lot about our time here. A lot of you know it. because this is a place you know. But I wanted to tell you what happened before. Before God blessed us with this awesome facility here, a church building and a gym and fellowship hall. And right, Brother Brandon, a big kitchen. And I hope all of us are looking forward, as I am, to the wonderful places God's going to take us as we follow our pastors. Now, Brother Hall and Brandon. Because we know that their hearts are stayed on Him. I believe New Life Ministries is in for many more years of prosperity, be it here or any other place that He might take us. I appreciate your time this morning. I knew it would be hard to get through this message. I hope that it's been a blessing. I hope hasn't been too boring. First I thought, well, Lord, everybody knows this. You got to teach your children. But I don't think we can ever say it too much, because outside these doors, it gets harder. It's easy in here, and it might be easy in your home. But when you're out in the world, I drive a school bus, by the way, for a living now, and it's been an experience, let's just say that. Because you got to love them, no matter what they do and what they say. In fact, here's a story, and I'll tell you this. I will close with this. I drove my bus up to an elementary school from the high school. I had middle school students on the bus. And I drove up to the elementary school and parked. And all of a sudden, wham, I heard something back here. I looked around. This girl's sitting back there. She's got applesauce all in her hair, over the coat. It's all over the side of the bus. And I look in the back of the bus. There's three guys back there. And I stood up and I said, "Now, which one of y'all threw this?" And nobody said a word. I said, "So nobody threw that applesauce. It just levitated over here and hit Ashley in the back of the head." And they still didn't say nothing. So I went back there. I said, "Well, I'm going to write all three of you up anyway, because all three of you are laughing about it, and it's not very funny." So then they said, "Oh, well, he did it." And others said, "He did it. He did it." You know, finally one of them said, I'll take the blame. He'd write me up." And you said, and I told him, I said, "You know I will." But that's the kind of stuff that you have to deal with sometime, and that's not that bad. But you go out here in the world, and some of the stuff you have to deal with, like you were talking earlier about idols, your phone, you never look up. You're looking down at your phone, never look up. I even heard something the other day. They've got a new thing where if you're looking down at your phone, you see the camera, you see what's ahead, so you never have to look away from your phone. Before, they'd run into something. Now they're not going to run into anything, so that gives them more reason to just look at their phone. But if we don't tell our children about the goodness of God and impress on them how important it is, even if they've been told a lot of times, then we're doing an injustice to them. And I just want to thank you again, and hope this message resonates with everyone. I don't see a person in here that I know that I don't love. But when you go out in the world, you have to look at everybody the same way. You have to look at them with love, no matter what they're doing. If they're throwing applesauce or if they're hollering at you, you still got to love them. And that's the hardest thing to do. If we don't impress on our children how to love the same way that God loves, then no matter how strong they are, they won't make it. The world will eat them up. So I want us to bow our heads and pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity today to worship you, Lord. We thank you that you've been with us this day by your Spirit, O God, to touch our hearts, to touch our minds. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom beyond understanding, Lord, that we may go forth from this place, O God, and be carriers of your glory and be ministers of your Spirit, O God, that wherever we go, we can tell of your goodness and tell of your grace, Lord, and touch hearts and minds for you, Lord. And we thank you that you are a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.